God. if this is your first time coming to YCF, or you haven't been here in a long time, and you don't have a home church, you are welcome here, and we thank you for joining us as guests. And if you'd like to fill out a little Connect card, we give you a free coffee mug with candy in it. You know, it's, why not? if that's you and you want to raise your hand, we will not embarrass you. They will hook you up. All right. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming. So we're just going to turn our attention. Actually, we're going to keep our attention on you, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. You are first in our life. And we put you first in every area of our life, with our time, with our attention, with our finances, Lord God, because all that we have is because you gave it to us. And Lord God, we just worship you. And we just ask you to take our offerings and just change lives with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's see. We partner with other churches in town. How do you guys know? You guys know that there's like one church body. Jesus is the head and there's one church body. Yeah. We just meet in different buildings, you know, on Sundays and Wednesdays and such. And we have some really dear friends at different churches in town. And there was a location change because the 24th of every month, we gather together in a different church to pray for York and pray for the transformation of our city, peace in our city and in our county. And it has changed and it's going to be at 1010 Community Church. There's some really good friends over there, and it's actually right off exit. It's the Leaders Height exit off 83. So the address is online, and we'll get a new card printed up. Also, it's grow group season. How many of you guys got planted in a home group, in a home church, and God changed your life? I'm here today because I got together with a small group of people and encouraged each other, dug into the word, and it caused me to grow. So I want to encourage you, check in with the grow group leaders, and actually launch dates are starting. Let's see, Miss Carolyn is on Monday, right? Okay, this woman can teach, she can preach. You want to get up under that ministry, it's so good. Let's see, and Mr. Bob, Miss Dolores, their grow group's on Monday too. There's a bunch of them going on and throughout the year, so please check in on that. That's pretty much the only announcements that really need to be said. We're going to dismiss children and junior high. Senior high is upstairs, and Pastor D has an awesome word for us today. So, good morning.
How many of you are excited to be here today? How many of you are walking in faith today? Amen. Okay, praise. Well, hey, we're starting a new series. I don't know how many weeks I'll do, but it's called Vision. 2020 Vision. Amen. Oh, good. 4 weeks? Are you kidding me, Pastor D? Yes, maybe. So, Pastor D, how could you? I'm talking to myself. Anybody talk to themselves? I talk to myself when I'm on that computer. I talk to myself when I'm driving, and I'm glad you're not next to me. But so what's so important about vision? How on earth could you come up with 4 weeks about vision? Well, it wasn't my idea. It was God's idea. And in Genesis to Revelation, he talks about vision and the importance of vision. So let's pray. Father God, we come to you again this morning. You are our God. You are our Father. Your love has been demonstrated when you sent your son Jesus, and it's been demonstrated over and over and over again, and we thank you for the word, the living word. And Father, my prayer today is that your word would transform us, go in deep into our hearts, bring light to places that need to have light. And we just say, I see. Everybody say, I see. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about vision, and it's from the New Testament to the Old Testament, and probably one of the most quoted scriptures. Get your pencil, write this down. Proverbs 29:18, probably the most quoted. And we're going to give a couple translations. You know, I talk to my guys, sometimes guys and girls back there, and I go, I picked a new version for you. And they're like, what? But so open up your Bibles to Proverbs 29:18. What is so cool about this scripture is it shows you what the world's like without vision. So maybe we should open up and listen up, right? This will show you what happens when you don't have vision, in the world especially. So here it goes. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. All right? So people with no vision, they don't have restraint in their life. All right? So let me just put it this way. Could it be the reason I can't stop reaching for those cookies? Could it be the reason that I can't stop saying those words out of my mouth? Could it be the reason I can't stick with a budget and live within my means? Could it be the reason, according to this scripture, is no vision? Just could be a root problem of no vision, so I have no restraint. Just one of the reasons, okay? Could it be? Could it be? Could it be there's like a root problem of no vision? So I think vision is super important. And I want to read this out of another translation. And this is the one you probably know. Where there's no vision, people perish. How many have heard that? If you're in my children's ministry, you knew that. So I'm telling you, vision's important. It's really important. And listen to this out of the Message Bible. If people can't see what God's doing, they stumble all over the place. They stumble all over themselves. So if I can't see clearly, write this down, I can't live clearly. If I can't see clearly, let me say it this way. If I can't see clearly, I can't live fully. So just maybe I'm saying this vision thing's kind of important. Anybody say amen? It is, all right? So I see. There's a few people that are wearing glasses like I am. I did not always wear glasses, all right? And I can tell you, I used to be able to see 100 yards down the road. I see those signs. And then I hit my mid-30s. Funny thing happens in your 30s. Okay, mid-30s. And I noticed occasionally that my vision, I was having trouble seeing. Okay, and this was a real kicker. This is me. Praise the Lord. So one day we're downstairs in our family room. We're watching TV. And I go, Jack, can you go behind the TV and, you know, twiddle some of those knobs? I'm sure those kids messed with my TV. And he said, no, honey, very lovingly, no, honey, you need to go to the eye doctor. Huh? Anybody? All right. So I would like to say that I was jumping on it right away. I didn't. I probably waited about a year. And I can give you all my excuses. But one day, I just got tired. I just, like, Jack, tune the TV. And he's going, no, honey, you need to do something. So I went to the eye doctor right up here on White Street. And I remember going into the room. And by the way, I probably hadn't been to the eye doctor since I started college. I was 18. And now I was like 30-something. So yeah. So anyway, I'm at the eye doctor and I'm looking at the chart. You know the first letters? What is the first letter? E. I could see that. It's like, yay. And then as we were going down the chart, he hasn't even started his whole exam. I'm going, you know, and I love you people that do this. No, honey. Guess what? Okay. So anyway, then he started playing with his machine, you know, his machine with the little lenses. And he'd go, click, click, click. Can you see that? No, you made it worse. Hold on. Because, you know, I'm such a patient person. Click, click, click. Oh, yeah. Click. Oh. Yeah. Anybody been to the eye doctor? Yeah. Okay. So he played it, and it was just amazing by adjustment that my vision could be focused. My vision could actually see. My focus was like, woohoo. All righty. So, so anyway, he told me that I needed glasses. Actually, I started arguing with him. I said, well, okay, so I probably just need them for driving. You ever tell people that are smarter than you? And he says, no, put them on your nose and don't take them off. But that was when I was in my 30s. I'm a lot smarter and wiser now. So anyway, so we got my prescription. I ordered a pair of glasses. They came in like in a week plus. And I remember putting on my glasses and I thought, I could sing the song. I can see clearly now. I'm not going to sing the rest. I was ready to sing it, baby. I was like, I can see clearly now. That chart, And I'm driving, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm actually reading all the signs. I have a friend, we laugh, that she reads every sign in the book. And we're like, stop reading. But that was me that day. I could read the signs. I'm reading. I could see the signs. I could read the signs. I loved it. I loved it. But you know what? When after that wore off, and by the way, I picked red glasses. So if you know me, my favorite color is red. I got my first pair of red glasses. I thought it was so cool. But you know, when that moment wore off, I thought, why did I wait so long to see clearly? Don't raise your hand if you're still procrastinating on your eye doctor appointment. Okay. And this is what the Lord started speaking to me, reminding me about that, is that he would like to show us how to see clearly. Because Proverbs 29 says, people without vision, whoosh, right? So, I thought about this in the series, and I'm really believing, I'm hoping, I'm praying, and I'm digging out my scriptures that you will start to have a clear vision for what God's called you to, that you will start to see with clarity the gifts, how about, that he's placed in you, that he wants you to do some things in your life. I'm praying for you guys, okay? So praise the Lord. So today is your checkup from the neck up, right? This is your eye doctor checkup. So, and really the whole vision, the whole vision for the series on vision is to have 2020 vision for 2020. 2020 vision for 2020. All righty. So let's look at that Proverbs 29:18 in the Message Bible. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And the second part says, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Guys, I don't want you just blessed. And if you're smarter than a fifth grader, you don't want to be just blessed. I want you to be most blessed. Everybody say most blessed. All right. I want you to be most blessed in your marriage, most blessed in your finances, most blessed in everything that you do, okay? Most blessed, most blessed. And the way this is going to happen is you have to have vision. You have to have vision. So we're going to dig into some more scriptures. All righty. I got a piece of hair stuck in my mouth when I took my glasses off, and I feel like I'm eating it. Ponytail time. Okay, I'm good. Even at YCF, we make a big deal out of vision. Last Sunday after church, had an elders meeting. And you know what we went over again? The vision. We went over the vision. And anytime we do something, we talk about our vision to make sure it's inside the vision. And if you've been here for a while, our vision is to gather, grow, and go. We gather because of him, to worship him. We grow, praise the Lord. Gather, grow, and we grow, hopefully, and I'm believing and I'm seeing it. We grow in our relationship with the Lord. And then, like a subtitle of that, you kind of start growing in friendships. Woo, it's just beautiful. And the last part of our vision is go. We go to take this what we've learned, this Jesus who's changed our life, to those that are far from God, those that are hurting. So that's our vision here. And listen, we got it up here. I probably have it on every wall to every 10 feet. Like, I'm ready. I'm not even ashamed that we could slap it in the stalls in the bathroom. Because I know how valuable vision is. I know. So why do we talk about vision? Why do we have vision? Why do we have our gather, grow, and go? Listen to this. Write this down. Vision leaks. It will. Vision leaks, so you have to keep it before your eyes. And you have to start saying it. So that's why we do this. Now, I'm going to throw something at you. You can catch it if you like. If you're a business owner, or if you lead a not-for-profit group, or if you lead a group, or you teach a Bible study, listen to this. In Habakkuk 2, God gives a blueprint on how to have a clear vision. Write it down. H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K. I must have typed that a zillion times the last month. It's like, I can spell this now. All right. So write down Habakkuk 2:2. All righty. Habakkuk 2:2 is actually a prophetic book in the Bible. Alrighty. And in the Old Testament, they would call prophets seers. Seers. And back in the Old Testament, there were only two people that had the seeing eye and the hearing ear from God. They were the prophets and the kings. But guess what? We're in the New Testament. We are all prophets and kings. But back in the Old Testament, they called these prophets seers. Seers. And what was their job? What was this? And we're going to read Habakkuk. He was a prophet. His job was to see, to hear the vision from God. God would show him. All right. And his job was to make it clear, reveal it to the people, reveal it to the people, because y'all didn't have ears to hear and eyes to see in the Old Testament. So his job was to hear, reveal it so that you could see and run with it. That's what seers, that's what prophets are about. So y'all over at Habakkuk. Ready? Habakkuk 2:2. Where's my scripture? Sorry about that. Habakkuk 2:2. And let me back up on this. So God shows Habakkuk this prophetic vision, and he goes to God. You know, you can talk back to God in a nice way. And even if you don't, he still loves you. But he talks back and he goes, so what do you want me to do with it, God? And this is it. Ready? And the Lord answered me, and this is what God says. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. All righty? He may run who reads it. All righty. So listen to this. He's really saying, I'm giving you a vision. I want you to write it clear. I want you to write it so wherever people go, they can see and run with it. I want you to just make it so they can't escape it. Right? And you know the reason why? Because if you keep seeing this vision, you'll start seeing the vision. Yeah. And you will start to see clearly and live fully. How about in 2020? Vision. All right. So I'm going to come back to that, but pop up to verse 1. We read Habakkuk 2:2. Listen to verse 1. I will keep watch. Why? Why would Habakkuk want to keep watch? Well, why? Okay. To see what the Lord will say. To see what the Lord will say. And the second part is, and how I should answer when he speaks strong words to me. All right. It's one thing to have a vision. Woohoo! Okay? It's another thing to know about your vision. Woohoo! But it's a whole different ball of wax to know how to run the vision. You know, so I read directions and I go, that's really nice, but I still don't know how to do it. Okay? So if God gives a vision, how about you have a strategy on how to run that vision? How to run that vision so you can be the most blessed. Amen. Praise God. So I'm praying this for you. I'm praying for this for us as a church, that that we would have a vision. By the way, YCF has a vision, but you all would have a vision and you would know how to have a better, fulfilling marriage. That you would know how to parent your kids. Man, I used to cry out that one. That you would know how to maybe lead better at work. That you would know how to do what God's dumped in your heart. I want downloads. Anybody like downloads? I finally figured out where they are on my computer. I pressed the button. I'm like, poof, where'd they go? Thank you all you under 30 that teach me these things over and over and over, okay? But praise God. So this is how we're going to see clearly and live fully in our lives in 2020, is when we have a vision and we know how to run the vision. Alrighty. Praise God. So I'm going to kind of shift gears and I'm going to talk about a few things that can stand in the way of our vision. Let's just call them obstacles. Anybody know, you know what I mean? Obstacles in the vision, obstacles. Okay. And we're actually going to talk about vision problems. Vision conditions, their problems, all righty? And by the way, you all were born with an original vision problem. Before you knew Jesus, you had a vision problem. And the Bible says it's called blindness. Open up to 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. What? I wasn't blind. Oh, yeah, you were. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the god of what? This world has what? Blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to what? See the glorious light of the good news. Woo! Okay? So he's saying the world is living in darkness. And they don't even know it. How many of you remember living in darkness? And you didn't know it. I just thought I was just, you know. No, I was living in darkness, and it did take a while till I knew it, okay? People are living in darkness, and they are just clueless. So this reminds me of a documentary I watched years ago, and it was about North Korea. Everybody ever hear about North Korea in our news? Yeah, you all pray for them, okay? So here's North Korea. By the way, they're a dictatorship, okay? And the really interesting about North Korea is people that live in North Korea sort of live in this bubble. They think they are the most prosperous place on the earth. They think they're the most enlightened place. They just think they're amazing. And the reason why that is they have been indoctrinated since they were kids. All right? So they have a goofed up perspective. Can I say that? I didn't say stupid. I'm getting good at not stupid all the time. Praise the Lord. So in this documentary, there was this Chinese doctor who was discovering in North Korea, there were millions of people that were having blindness. They were blind. They had this epidemic of blindness. And the sad part is some of it was, or a good portion of it was cataracts. Anybody know about cataracts? Cataracts can be easily fixed with an easy surgery. Well, no surgery is easy, but it can be fixed with surgery, all right? So, and what's even, this will pull in your heart, a whole bunch of them that were suffering from blindness were kids, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Ah! And if they just had the resources, if they just had the medical attention, if they just had the equipment, this blindness can go away, right? How many of you know that about cataracts? You know, my grandmother had that, and just a surgery. Wow, she could see clearly, okay? So anyway, this doctor, and I can't pronounce his name, so Dr. China guy, goes on a missions trip. You know, don't ask me these names here. Goes on a missions trip with a medical visa into North Korea. And he does, listen to this, over 1,000 surgeries in 1 week for cataract surgery. That's crazy, right? And so the other part about this is, listen to this. So they do the surgery, and they usually wrap your eyes up, and it takes a couple of days, and then they unwrap, and in the documentary, you got to see these people see again. And it's real, they're real emotional, and I'm real emotional, so I'm just, ooh, well, this is great. But here's the, put your seatbelt on, but here's the sad part. They are still blind. Because when they have the band-aids undone, wrapped off, and they can see, they walk past the doctor who has given them their sight, and they go into this church where there's a picture of their leader, what's his name, Kim Jong-un, and they bow down to it. They walk past the guy that gave them sight, and they bow down to the guy that's got them in blindness. Isn't that... Now you can say stupid. Isn't that stupid? Gosh. Praise God. Just think if they could really see their real condition in North Korea. So we pray. You'll go pray for a couple other things because they want to shoot things off, all right? So I was just wondering if God wants us to see our condition so we can make some changes. Like, what's it, Isaiah? His thoughts are higher than my thoughts and his ways are higher than my ways. How about if we start seeing his thoughts and his ways? How about that? And we can start seeing and living clearly and fully for 2020. Praise God. So my big idea that I really hope you get, because I've only said it about 10 times so far, is that we would see clearly and live fully when we have a vision in 2020. Praise God. So this is my prayer. Write this down. Some of you can do cartwheels and say this by upside down. Just great. Ephesians 1:18. This is my prayer. I pray this for myself all the time. Please pray it for me too. Pray it for my kids. I pray it for you guys. This should be a prayer that you just know. You just know. So Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of my heart or my understanding may be enlightened, in order that I may know the hope which he has called me, and the riches and the glorious inheritance for those that are holy, the saints. All right. I watched this prayer in y'all. I have watched y'all where the word of God becomes alive and you see and there's light and you come out of darkness and you go into light. I've watched it. It is exciting. Praise God. You know, it kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul. What was his name? Saul. So Saul, he was not a nice guy. He's running around persecuting the God's children, the Christians that time. And Jesus didn't like that. He still doesn't like that, for persecuting and just doing that. So you know what? So Saul is on this road trip to Damascus, and Jesus shows up, throws him off his high horse, okay? And he's blind. And Jesus talks to him. He says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he knew who was talking to him. You ever talk to a kid and they just give you some shlemmy? Oh, I don't know. No. He knew. And I'm going to say this because it goes with my message. But think about this. Sometimes I just stretch you out of the word. Just stretch your box a little bit. I am convinced that for those 3 days, he was blind for 3 days, he saw more than he had seen his whole life. He saw Jesus, the Son of God, changed his life. Praise God. Okay, just saying. Praise the Lord. Okay, where should I go with that? Oh, okay, so I found this quote. Sometimes I like to find quotes. It's named by Michael Todd. And this kind of just explains Saul. Write this down if you like it. Sight is what you see with your eyes open. Sight is what you see with your eyes open, right? But vision is what you see with your eyes closed. Man. You get vision, it'll keep you up at night and get you up early. You get vision, everybody else is dropping like flies, but you got vision and there's nothing stopping you. Okay, so I'm praying for some of you that you get your vision back. Some of you get your vision back, all right? Because listen, I've seen you run with fire in your bones. And because of life, that I saw you lost your vision. And listen, God's desire is, number one, he gives a vision. And he wants you to have it back so you can run with vision. And see clearly and live fully. Praise God. Now, this is what I've noticed. If Satan can't blind you, okay? I'm not blind. I have Jesus in my light. I'm transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his light. So not in that aspect, if he can't blind you, he will try to distort your vision. Ever say, good preaching, Pastor D. So what are you talking about, Pastor D, if you didn't say it? Listen, he will try to blur your vision. He will try to just get you to not focus where you should have been focused. Satan loves to do that, all right? So I want to talk about a couple of vision conditions, vision problems, and we're just going to go through them sort of quickly. Praise the Lord. You never know, okay? So I'm going to give you four of them, and these are things that we can, you know, by the way, I know I'm not a medical doctor, So when I give you these things, well, that's not all right. I'm giving you some spiritual truth. So just see with me, okay? Here's the first one, because you can experience this in the natural, but really it has effects spiritually. We're going to talk about naturally, but it has effects spiritually. Here's the first one. It's called nearsighted. But I want to talk about being spiritually nearsighted. Spiritually nearsighted, okay? So what is nearsighted? It means I can only focus on what's in front of me. All right? And I can't focus beyond my own self. I focus on what about me? What about my needs? What about my wants? What's the Joyce Myers? Me, 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 me. She does a great commercial on that one. Okay, nearsighted, okay? And guys, Jesus slammed this one. He talked about being a disciple and dying to your me, 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 dying to yourself. Woo, okay? And pick up your cross and follow me, all right? So some people can have that problem. None of us. It must be somebody else. Okay. Here's number two. Maybe you struggle with a lazy eye, wandering eye. That's the natural. But I'm going to call this lust. That's what I'm going to talk about here. And listen, I have watched this small thing do big damage in men and women. It blew up David's life. Bad. It blew up Solomon. And Samson, oh my gosh, blew him out of the water. This little thing called lust, okay? This little thing can do big damage, amen? Well, that's not a good amen, all right? And I was thinking, how many times, like every week, we see a scandal on the news about some politician or some preacher? This little thing that just can have big damage, all right? So there's another guy in the Bible, his name is Job. And Job's culture was probably not as delightful as ours, okay, sexual as ours is. And listen, he knew, I got to read this to you. He saw the danger in this lust. And this is what he said. He said to God, God, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look lustfully on a younger woman. You know what he was saying? I'm not messing with this because it has big damage. I was like, high five, Job. Praise God. And listen, it's not if we're going to run into this in this day and age. I don't know if it's going to happen. It is, you are surrounded with sexual goofiness and lust, all right? You got an app? It's peeping its head out. I was talking to some parents, and they were telling me, and so I don't have little kids anymore, so I just kind of let you all tell me. But they said, there's so much garbage on kids' apps that they put them on airplane mode. I was like, airplane mode? That's when I get an airplane? No, Dave, that's not what I mean. Okay, and I was like, what? And they said, even on the commercials, there's this garbage that is just infiltrating our kids and our world. All righty? So, you have to have a strategy. All right? You have to have a strategy so that we can see clearly. Otherwise, this thing is going to take you down. And someone, well, if I just lived, you know, when Jesus lived. Oh, no, man. It was badder, worser when Jesus lived. What they, women, kids, it was gross, disgusting, all right? And listen to this about Jesus. He didn't lower the standard. And say, well, you know, everybody's doing it. They're all shacking up and they're all doing this and they're watching this. He didn't do that. He raised the standard. Jesus raised the standard. And he says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. I'll talk about hit the ceiling on raising the standard. Okay? So listen, he knew about it. We know about it. Let me tell you a story. I have several friends that go into prison. One of them is Pastor Jim Law. You all know he's been our speaker. He's moved to Louisiana. Dumb place to move, right? And then I have two other friends that have been going into prison for years, and they minister the gospel to inmates. And one of them, and I can't remember if it was Pastor Jim or this one that told me the story, because you know I just remember all those details. But they were telling me this story. They were getting ready to go into prison, and that week before, the Lord impressed on their heart to teach on purity to a bunch of inmates. And, you know how you can talk yourself out of when God says something? You're like, oh, God, they don't want to hear something like that. You know, they'll probably laugh at me. And, we got goofy in the brain. And it stuck on them. It stuck on them. It stuck on them. I want you to talk to these inmates about sexual purity. So he decided to obey God. Everybody say, amen, obey God. And he did this message called Purity is Possible. Some of you need to know that. Purity is possible. Okay? And you know, some of these guys have never, and I'm going to say this about, I hear women, you know, usually say, oh, it's a guy thing. I hear women, they're bad too. But anyway, but he's ministering to men. And as he was sharing this, purity is possible, the Holy Spirit was just telling him, he said, you know, some of these guys have never seen a man model purity in their entire life. Matter of fact, the places they've come from, the homes and the dads, if they had dads, they celebrated impurity. They're like, this is the norm. Okay? So my friend was spot on teaching about purity is possible. And this I still remember, and I actually do. He taught them how to bounce their eyes. And the first time he said it, what do you mean bounce your eyes? You can bounce a basketball. He said, no, D. Bounce your eyes. And he says, I can't tell you how many places my eyes bounce to the floor and I walk out. And I you're looking at those magazines at the grocery store, you're just checking out, and you go bounce to the floor and walk out. So I thought, I like that. Bounce your eyes, right? And you got to teach your kids this. I remember one time we were driving and there was this slutty billboard. That's all I'm going to say. And my kids said, I love when they go, Daddy. I was like, Daddy, what do you think about this? And we used to have a thing. We'd say, grab a pillow. Cover your eyes, grab a pillow. Okay. But we're in a car. And I thought, bounce your eyes. Bounce your eyes. Okay. You have to teach. Listen, you cannot take your kids and protect them from everything. They live in the world, but you can, and I'm telling you, that's part of your training. You have to. It's your responsibility. Teach them how to bounce their eyes and why. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Amen. Okay, let's move on. Number three, vision problem. It's called double vision. So when do you have double vision? When does it happen in the natural? Okay, this is me. I thought, it's usually when you get hit blindsided. Like something in life just blinds, like, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that affair coming. I didn't see that separation coming. I didn't see that divorce coming. I didn't see that cancer coming. I didn't see my kid with behavioral problems coming. And it blindsides you. Anybody ever have a blindside? You know, I know you did, because I'm usually the phone call that picks you up off the ground. And I've had some of those blindsides. But the problem when it hits you off guard is usually you have blurred vision afterwards. You know, okay, that's dramatization, but really you get blindsided and your vision is blurry. Your vision, double. Can't see, can't focus, okay? You don't have clarity in your life on the things that God gave you vision, alrighty? So, have you ever noticed if you don't have vision, somebody's going to come up and tell you, well, I think you ought to do this, you know? I don't know how many of you do this. I've read your stuff on Facebook. Hey, does anybody know where a good blankety blank blank is? You know, whatever your blankety blank is, okay? I've seen them for chiropractors, restaurants, whatever. And you get hit with 5,000. Yeah, you ought to go here. You got to do this, all right? You didn't have vision, but somebody else will tell you vision. Now, on the flip side, there is a time for that. But I'm not talking about that time. I'm talking about if you don't have vision, people will come up and tell you vision. I've had people tell people, not me, of course, tell people, oh, I think you ought to do this. And I watched them derail where they were supposed to go. All because they got blindsided, got blurry vision, and some Joe Schmo comes up and tells them something, which they thought was good, but it was wrong. It got them in the wrong place. Amen. Good word. You should write that down. The word division, write that word down. The first part, they call that the prefix, is di, and it means two visions. Division means two visions. Division means two visions. So maybe the marriage you're struggling in has two visions going on. Maybe the parenting that you got going on that you're struggling in is got two visions, division going on. Maybe how you run your household, you got two visions going on and it's blowing up, all right? So Habakkuk says, write the vision, make it clear. And I like the Message Bible says, make it in big block letters so that when you run by, oh yeah, I can see that. Oh yeah, yeah. Instead of, okay. Everybody say, write the vision. Make it clear. Praise God. Okay, here's our last condition, farsightedness. I've struggled with this. I'm sure somebody else has. It's when you see things at the distance clearly. You can see things in the distance clearly. All righty? But you can't see what's right in front of you. All righty? So spiritually nearsighted people, you focus what's down the road and you miss, you can't see what's right in front of you, where God has placed you, what God has for you, because your eyes like this. What do we call that? The grass is greener on the other side, right? Y'all hear that? All righty. And it's so what happens is everything looks better down there. Yeah, oh, it's better out there. Let me give you an example. Was it a week ago? I was taking Joy and Eric back to the airport on 695, which is not a two-lane road. It's not a three-lane. It's like four. How many of this, Stephen? How many? I love that. Okay, so I pick the lane that's going to go fast. I'm driving. I didn't obey the speed limit. Y'all know that. So, but then I'm looking in the distance, and my lane's looking slow. And that lane over there is looking fast. So I do my merge thing. Sherry yells at me, Mom, put your signaler on. I was just merge thing. I was like, signalers. Okay. And so then I'm in the lane now that's going fast. And then I look back at the lane I came out of. They're going faster. You can drive yourself buggy. And I do. I just, okay. I do slow down when I see that police car. Okay. Amen. So think about, seriously, could this be happening spiritually in our lives? All right? Like we're in the lane that God called you to be and planted you to be in, gave you a vision to be in. Okay, you're in that lane. But then you start looking at everybody else, comparison, or you look at, oh, well, better yet, it's not happening fast enough. So you start going the wrong lane. The problem is you became discontent. Everybody say discontent. Yeah, discontent. And you know what happens? You get out of, not all the time, but I'm going to say that this time. You get out of the plan and the will of God for your life. And I've watched it over and over. And then life just, you mess it up. You mess it up, okay? You're not planted where God planted you. He's got a vision for you because you got discontent, righty? Now, I am a pastor. I love people. What did I say? I just want to line them up and shoot them today, Sherry. Not that one, this one. I love people. I really do. And, you know, pastors, and some of you do too. I'm a people watcher. I love watching people. Okay. Okay. So I'm a people watcher. And you know what I've not noticed pretty much hands down about every people, everybody. We like to, or we tend to want what somebody else has. We tend to want what somebody else has, okay? And that's that grass is greener on the other side. Let me give you some examples here. Have you ever noticed single people want to be married? Oh, if I could just be married, I could just kill to be married. Then you talk to a married person, what do they say? I could just kill my spouse. We want what somebody else has, right? How about people want to have kids. Oh, gosh, I just want to have a whole bunch of kids. Oh, and then talk to people who have kids. Honey, do you remember when we used to sleep? Remember when we had money? You tend to want what somebody else has. Working people want to be retired. Retired people want to be working. So it's just, what'd you say, Cheryl? Nope. Okay. So the tendency, I'm going to read my notes because I can't think. The tendency is we want what we don't have and we longingly look in the distance. Praise God. And guys, this is how the enemy will rip you off. He will rip you off, I'm telling you, because you're supposed to be in this vision, planted right here, and you get out of place, and life just goes down the toilet, all right? I see this with people on where they live, and I call it destination disease. Oh, if I could only live at the beach. Oh, if I could only live on the West Coast, if I could live on the East Coast, if I could live on the mountains, if I could live where there's no snow. York County, no snow. All right, you're in the right place. But listen, you know what happens? And I've watched people with amazing visions that God gave them their vision for their life. And they've got amazing families, amazing friends, amazing church culture. And all because they got a $5,000 a year raise. And they move to this place over way over there, all because of that. And life just doesn't go good. And they wake up and they go, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I planned. And I had this. And all because they had, far down here, okay, wanting what somebody else has, okay? So the enemy loves you to focus on what's far away, so you miss out the blessings that God has for you right here and now and this day and that play. Amen. He does. It's not fun, but it's not good either. Now, everybody say, I love you, Pastor D. Don't let him out. Lock the door. I've watched Christians do this with their local churches. Everybody say, yeah. All right. My pastor friend calls it the exchange program. Some of you know where I'm going, okay? And there's a disagreement at church or an offense or, disappointment, and they uproot and they go to the next good church and they plant themselves there until the next offense and disappointment. They pick themselves up next month, and then they pick themselves up next month. And because pastors aren't perfect and neither are you, so they pick them up and pick them up and pick them up, okay? The problem with that is they don't grow roots. And without roots, you got no fruits. I'm telling you, okay? By the way, did you know you can't be planted in two places at the same time? Okay, I am not a gardener. I throw them out. I kill them faster than lightning, and I have two plants that live in my place because they can live with abuse. But I know a little bit about, I do. And one of them is yay big, and I'm looking to give it away, and you need this massive foyer, and I don't have that anymore. Let me know. I'll talk to you after church. I'll give it to you. I do not have any emotional ties to this big, huge plant that's 6 foot. Okay, but anyway, wouldn't it be wild if, like, anybody who grows, and including me, you got this healthy plant and that you bought, and then you dig a hole and you put all that Miracle-Gro and you plant it for a while, and then Then you decide, well, you know what? Next month I'm going to dig it up and stick it over here in this good soil because I know what good soil is. I buy that stuff. And then next month you dig it up and you put it over here and then you put good soil in here. It's not going to grow deep roots. And the problem about not having deep roots, resist deep roots, is when the stuff comes at you, it'll take you down. But if you have deep roots in the Word, plant it, you'll be resilient. You'll be resilient. Amen. Let me give you a scripture for that. Turn over to Mark 4:17. I love this one. Mark 4:17. You got to grow deep roots. Mark 4:17. This is the sower sows the word. I'm reading this out of Mark 4:17. But since they don't have what? Deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or persecution for believing God's word. You are never going to rise above your roots. Your fruits aren't coming first. Your roots have to go down. And roots go down if you plant yourself. And I'm not just talking about church, but I am talking about church, but I'm not talking about church, but I'm talking about church. But if you plant yourself and nobody sees these roots that are going down, and guess what? Yeah, you will, even in difficult times, you will grow this way and you'll grow this way. Amen. I love that scripture. I love the sower sows word. Okay, so I personally would rather, if you're doing plant here and plant here and you plant here and plant here and you got two visions going on, which is division, as much as I love you, I would rather you plant it one place 100%. Because number one, you're not my sheep. You're on loan, okay? All right, and I want the best for you, but you will flourish. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord. Amen. Okay, enough of my soapbox. Praise the Lord. Let's end on a happy note. Ready? Positive, positive. Let me give you two ways you can fight this vision conditions, these vision problems. Just two ways. Ready? Number one, it says, find your focus. Find your focus. Find your focus, okay? So we have to find our focus. What does that mean? You got to get a vision. You have to get a vision. You have to get a vision, okay? So question, write this down. This is your homework. Talk about it at lunch. What is your vision? What is your vision? And then when you get the vision and you say, God, I see this, you know, write it down, write it down. Get your vision and write it down. Find your vision. I was talking to a dear friend. I've known her for about 30 years. And last year, I personally know what's happened in her life. Last year, they got machine gun, missile gunned. They just got hit in every area of their life, financially, spiritually, job, just, it was rough. And she said, I feel like we don't know where we're going. Started to doubt themselves. And I said, girl, what's your vision? Get with your husband and talk about the vision. You really started, it was 2019. You had a vision. I loved hearing their vision. Find your vision again. Find your vision again. Write it down. And I told her about Jack and I, when we first, we were married our second year, we were going out to Rhema our second year. We didn't have two nickels. We had 4 cents. So we didn't have any pictures in our house. See, that's where I get it. I still don't do too many pictures. But we had paper and we would tape them on the wall and we would write our vision on the wall, on the paper, not on the wall. Don't draw on the wall, don't draw on the wall, don't draw on the wall. But we would tape it up there. Go ahead and do it. Write your vision. You have to find your vision, okay? And excluding me, but usually we walk in the direction that we are looking at. Don't walk backwards. You'll break something. But you walk in the direction you look at. So get your vision before you and you will walk that way. And I see people who have vision, I mean vision, and pain doesn't stop them if you have vision. Disappointments don't stop them because they got vision. They know their vision. They're reminding themselves of their vision, all right? By the way, guess who had awesome vision? Jesus. Jesus had awesome vision. Turn over to Hebrews 12:2. This is Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was Jesus' vision? Us! What was Jesus' vision? Salvation for the world. That was the light at the end of the tunnel. He found his vision, and he could walk through more pain than and just horrible things. So Jesus had vision. All right, so let me just make it practical. For the waistline set before me, I will endure a healthy diet. Okay, How about, for the marriage set before me, I will endure couples counseling. Okay, do you want me to get more practical? All right. So you've got to find your focus. Write that down. Find your focus. Find your focus. And last one, you have to fix your focus. Sometimes your focus that you think you have that is the focus needs to be fixed because it's a lie. Okay? You have to fix your focus. And you know what that means? There has to be a change in your perspective. You have to change your perspective. Fix your focus. Fix your focus. So let me think. Oh, yeah. You know that driving thing? My lane was not the problem. The driver. No, my lane wasn't the problem. It was my perspective. My perspective, okay? My position. I'm going to take it to you. Your position is not your problem. It's your perspective on how you see where you are. Some of you. By the way, I preach myself happy. This is to me too. So everybody's like, look, she's just beating us up. No, it's me. Okay. So you have to look through the right lenses. Okay. If you want to live the way God wants you to live, you have to see through God's perspective. All right. You have to see. So what happens if you're an insecure person? What do we say they are? I'm shy. Insecure. You know, how about you start seeing yourself the way God sees you? The way God wrote about you, but the way that God sees you. How about like this? I am the apple of God's eye. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How about you have a perspective shift and you see, and then, I'm sorry, then you got to start saying it. Look in that mirror. Okay, you have to start seeing it and saying it. All righty? How about for this city, York? Where do you live? York. York, all right? Open up to John chapter 1, verse 46. How about we have a different perspective on our city and our community, right? So this is, I'm just going to tell. This is Philip, and he goes to Nathanael, and he's telling him about this guy he met, Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael says, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? All right. Can anything good come out of York? York. York. Not New York. We live in York. All right. And listen to Philip's response. I just love it. He said, come and see. Philip had the perspective. He had the vision. I was like, Jesus, are you kidding me? It's Jesus, all right? So how about, by the way, God specializes doing big things in small places. York. He does. And you know why? And I was just thinking about all the revivals that I read about, and I haven't read half of them, but they were all little padunk places, right? You know why he loves doing that? Because he gets all the glory. You did something in York? God, must have been God, okay? How about that? So here we go. Think about if God can find a bunch of crazy people. That's us right here. That can would believe God to do something in York. That would believe God that this church, the best days are ahead, not the worst. That would believe God that we carry a hope to a people, to a community. And it has to do with perspective. So I am crazy enough to have a perspective shift, all righty? How about all you married people? Well, they say, oh, gosh, if my husband would do this, and my wife, oh, my gosh, if she would do this, right? How about you stop looking at somebody else's grass, and you start watering your own grass, right? How about you stop fighting in your marriage, and you start fighting for your marriage because you have a perspective shift on what God says about it. You're going to have a vision. I don't care how down the toilet your life is. Have a vision. and then water it. Amen. Okay, here's another one. Single people. Young single people, old single people, whatever. How about you stop seeing singleness like a sickness? How about you see what God says? Singleness is a gift from God. And it, yeah, I got one single person that said that. Okay, I better read my notes here. Singleness is a gift from God, praise God. And it is going to be, it is an amazing season in my life that I can do a mighty work for the kingdom of God, because I don't have to be busy taking care of a spouse and kids. This is a gift and a blessing in my life. Amen. Now I'm going to give you one more. How about you take the challenge and the vision for prayer? Oh gosh. And I didn't even say fasting. Just leave prayer there, alrighty? Okay. How about we start to see prayer as the vehicle that God uses to change the earth? How about we start seeing prayer the vehicle that has power to it? Not just help. Okay. We have prayer every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. in the bookstore. Doors open. Come and pray. And really, I'd love someone to lead it and say, Pastor D, I'm going to be here at 9 o'clock. High five, I'll open the door for you, okay? Because you see and you have a perspective and you know what prayer do. Every Thursday downstairs, and I know Thursday at noon, some of you are working, but if you're not, we got prayer every Thursday. And on the 24th of every month, you know, this city, York, that we now have a perspective that God is going to just move mightily in here. And there's what I always laugh. Someplace says, this is the revival capital of the world. And I drove by and I'm like, it's a little hill. They had vision. Okay. So vision. Amen. Everybody say, I see, clearly. I live. Fully. In 2020. See how many times I scratched off my checkbook? I was like, dang, I did that thing wrong. Praise God. Let me pray for you. Let me just give a real simple invitation. You've been here. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Just take a breath here. You've been hearing about this Jesus. And the problem sometimes is you can hear about Jesus, especially in the United States. We can talk Jesus this, we can talk Jesus that. But sometimes we have Jesus as just this check off, I did this. Check off, I went to church. Check off, I read my Bible. Check off, I was good today. Check off, okay? And the problem with that is Jesus is really about a relationship. Everybody say amen. It's about a relationship. I know God and he knows me. And you know, it's not just can I go to heaven. It's about having heaven on earth. That's Jesus. I can have heaven on earth. Praise God. And you know, Jesus, people and religions talk all about, you know, well, there's many ways to heaven. Nope. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it's not a complicated, the gospel is not complicated. I'm smart enough to figure that out. Okay. It's God. I have made a mess of my life. I knew. How many of you knew you were sinners? Maybe you just said, I just messed up. The rest of you are liar. Now you're a sinner. Okay. Come on. I knew I was a sinner. And then somebody told me that God loved me unconditionally, that he's taken my sins and he just chucks them out. And he took my broken heart and he gave me a new heart, took my broken life and gave me a new life. So I just want to say, if you're here today and you have never done something with Jesus, he's here to do something with you. Today's the day that he will do something for you. So if you'd like to, we call this invite Jesus into your life. And he doesn't make you. I'm a mama that used to make my kids. Make your bed. Make your this. Do that. Okay. Jesus doesn't make you. You have to want him. You have to ask him. So if there's anybody here, just raise your hand. We will pray with you. And you want Jesus make you new. Amen. Is there anybody here? Praise God. Praise God. I see that hand. You can put your hand down. Wow. Guys, how many of you would pray this prayer with this person here? Why don't you all stand up? There's a bunch of us that have already done this. And Jesus said, if you would believe in your heart and then say with your mouth. So you can't do this. And you have to believe in your heart. If you believe in your heart, he will come and make you new. And you have a bright hope and a future. And not only is heaven your home, but earth will look so much better. So how about everybody say this? Say this. We'll say it aloud so that you can hear it. Ready? Father, I thank you for this free gift of salvation. This gift that Jesus bought for me. And Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. And this day I say, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my heart. And I thank you for this new life. And I thank you now. I am a child of God. Heaven's my final destination. But today and every other day, I will choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible says one person says, Jesus, come into my life. They say they have a crazy party. You think you, amen. They do. They celebrate. They celebrate. They celebrate. Because a child has come home. So it is a beautiful day. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please come see me. I would just love to high five you if you don't do hugs, okay, and pass on some good stuff. The rest of y'all have a wonderful day. But listen, homework, homework, homework. I love doing this to teacher. Get quiet. Figure out vision. Ask God, what is vision for 2020? Leave the past. What is vision for my life? What is vision for my kids? What is vision for what I do in life? Write it down. Tape it to the wall. And then tell me. Tell me, okay? Amen. Have a wonderful Vision Sunday 2020. Amen.